Welcome to SOS for the Soul Coming Home. I'm your host, Jennifer Elizabeth. I think I know who I am tonight. I'm Jennifer Elizabeth Masters. I am a transformational teacher, narcissistic trauma recovery guide and coach, and author of Unbecoming. My books are available on Amazon. So this is where emotional healing meets embodied awakening. What does that mean? Well, we will talk about that as we go further. Each week, we explore what it really takes to dissolve narcissistic trauma, reclaim your inner authority, and remember who you are beneath the survival patterns so you can live with clarity, confidence, and deep self-trust. If you're ready for real transformation, you are in the right place. Well, what is narcissistic trauma? How does it shape you? And how can you heal? And what do I know about this? Well, I will tell you a little bit about myself, that I have a mom that is going to be almost 104. Well, she's going to be 104 in July. So I have had almost 72 years to understand trauma, what narcissists are, and how a narcissistic mother can shape you from the beginning. And so my mom, I love her very much. What I will tell you, though, it's taken me a very long time to come to a place where I can be with her and not be angry. And so if you've had parents like this that were perhaps toxic, or maybe you've been with a narcissistic person in your life, whether it's a landlord, a boss, a neighbor, a friend, narcissists are everywhere. So we'll talk a little bit more about what narcissists are. How are they formed? Are they born? Are they manufactured? How do people become narcissistic? And am I a narcissist? Well, I thought I was for a while, but here's the thing about narcissists as a characteristics. So we all have narcissistic characteristics. What is that? It's where we want significance. We want people to see us. Some people don't. We want to be heard. But narcissists have a very low self-esteem inside, a large persona outside, but they hide what they really feel inside. Okay, so my mom, beautiful woman. She showed on the outside to all the neighbors. She was the perfect mom. We had the perfect household. Our place was spotless. You could eat off the floors. And if you had a narcissistic parent, especially a mom, you may have become a perfectionist. Anybody out there? So we're talking about all the different aspects of how this can shape us and what can you do about it. Is it possible to be with a narcissist, to be married to one? Do narcissists change? We'll talk about all of those things. And at some point, we will be taking phone calls, probably not tonight necessarily, but in future. If you have questions for me, you could send them to JenniferElizabethMasters@gmail.com, and I can respond on my show. So what is trauma? Because there's narcissistic trauma, but what is trauma? So most people think that trauma is something that happened in the past. Well, actually, it's not. It's not the thing that happened to you. It is what your body did as a result of the things that happened to you. It's what's happening with your body, your nervous system, your autonomic nervous system, your parasympathetic nervous system. So if you've experienced narcissistic trauma, you probably already know. And it doesn't just hurt, it changes you. It changes who you are. It changes how you think, how you feel, and what you tolerate, and who you become in your relationships. So if you've ever felt like you were walking on eggshells, if you ever felt like nothing you do for others, for certain people, is ever enough, or you question yourself constantly, this conversation is for you. And this is not just about emotional pain, it's about conditioning. And trauma is what stays in the body long after the event is over. So we're not just going to have a conversation. I'm going to give you three different exercises to help you with your nervous system, calming your nervous system down, moving through anger. And then there's one other. What is the other one? Oh, yes. We're going to activate your vagus nerve. And you'll understand that a little bit more about that in a moment. All right, so you can leave a situation. You could move away from a narcissistic parent. You could move out from where you live. You could get divorced. But here's the thing. If it's not processed, it doesn't leave you. The trauma doesn't leave you. So I'll give you some examples. What could happen? How could you know if you've got narcissistic trauma? Well, some of the things that could happen, you may be hypervigilant. You may be constantly searching, looking around for, am I safe? Is anybody going to yell at me? Is anybody going to attack me? You may overreact and not know why. You may feel anxious for no reason. You may shut down in relationships. And you may be perfectly fine with some situations, but with other people, you may just go absolutely silent and speechless and then wonder, what the heck happened? Why could I not speak up or stand up for myself? You may feel unable to say no. Or you say no to the wrong people and yes to the wrong people. And this could have something to do with intimidation or manipulation. You may feel like you're never enough. And these are not personality traits, these are adaptations. So these are things that your body has done to adapt to and survive trauma. And some of you may still be in a state of fight, fright, or freeze. And we'll be talking about what does that do? But first, because this is the question I get asked frequently, are narcissists born or are they created? So I'm waiting to hear, what do you think? Do you think they're born or created? Well, they're rarely born. They develop narcissistic behavior as a mechanism to a coping mechanism, actually, for neglect or inconsistent parenting. It could have been as early as in the womb. There could have been a trauma that took place, a husband and wife yelling at one another when the baby is in the womb, and that could have affected the child. They could have had parents that were warm one moment and cold the next, loving one minute, angry the next, unstable parents, a parent with their own trauma, their own issues. And what does it do to your body? So let's start with the body. And right now, let's do this. I'd love to do this because it helps guide where we're going to go next. I like to connect here. There is a chakra right here. We have a heart chakra. There's seven main chakras. There's a lot of smaller chakras, but this one is called the high heart, and it's where your I think it's the hypothalamus is right here, or thalamus. So we're going to touch here and breathe into our hand here. And as we do, we're going to take one deep breath, counting to four on the inhalation and six on the exhalation. And just notice how you're feeling right now, and let's see how you're going to feel in just a couple of minutes of breathing. So take a nice deep breath, breathing in, and exhale for six. Breathe in for four. And exhale for six. Breathe in for four. Breathe out for six. So you may feel that you're more settled and grounded in your body. You can keep that breathing up. If I do that, I'll end up not speaking. But you're welcome to continue with that breath. So when trauma isn't processed, it stays in the body in survival mode. And I mentioned earlier, there's this fight, flight, or freeze. And you may have experienced it, maybe in a car accident where you took a gasp like this, and your car may have spun around, and you're frozen. You're frozen. You don't you know you're you don't know where you are, where you're going. So fight means you're ready to fight. You're ready to fight. You may be feeling irritable. You may have controlling behavior. And that could help to make you feel calmer. Then there's the flight, where you just want to run away. Let me get out of here. Anxiety is that flight mechanism. You feel this woo kind of inside your body, where you're shaky inside. And breath is one of the fastest ways to move out of anxiety, to breathe in for four and out for six. Breathe in for four and out for six. So, when we're in the state of flight, where we want to run away, you could be feeling, like I said, anxiety. You may overwork, like constantly being on your computer or constantly scrolling, or you may be incredibly restless, not able to calm down. And we're going to get into sleep disruption because if you are in this state of survival all the time, you may find you fall asleep for 3 or 4 hours and then you're awake and you can't get back to sleep. But then there's also freezing, where you're numb. You could be depressed. You may have difficulty getting yourself motivated, getting yourself to do things. There's another level of this fight, flight, or freeze, and it may be something that you have heard, or maybe something you've done and you didn't have a name for it. And this is called the fawn response. I don't like the word because when you think of fawning over someone, it makes me feel, just the word makes me feel uncomfortable. So when you fawn, you may be people pleasing, overgiving, and have a tremendous fear of conflict. So, I know some people, when they are in a state of fear, they may laugh if they're in an intense moment. I've had people say to me, I don't know why I do this, but I laugh when I'm in a really tense situation with my boyfriend. I don't understand why I do it. He thinks I'm laughing at him, and it's I can't control it. This fawn response is an uncontrollable response. And it's where we go when we're in fear of conflict. So, this is our body speaking. Your body is speaking to you, telling you a story. You're living in chronic tension, which is causing fatigue, and then digestive issues, autoimmune patterns. Maybe even fibromyalgia type pain. Lupus is another one. Fibromyalgia are things that are, they call them diseases. I don't know that they're actually diseases, but they definitely have strong symptoms in the body. But your body will express what your mind is avoiding. So I want you to hear this. So take a nice deep breath and close your eyes. The body will express what the mind is avoiding. So, what are you feeling right now? What's happening in your body right now? When I was in survival mode, I was very tense all the time. I was anxiety ridden. You would have called me a nervous child. I was very nervous because I never knew who my mother was going to be, Dr. Jekyll or Mrs. Hyde at home. I never knew when I walked in the front door whether she'd be happy to greet me here or have a cookie or screaming at me about the mess in my room. This is that inconsistency that you're out of balance constantly, never knowing whether you're going to be safe or attacked. And so when the nervous system stays dysregulated, I'm going to explain dysregulation long enough. It affects the entire body. So I was dysregulated probably for, it seems like about 30 years, maybe more. Chronic stress, inflammation, where I suppressed emotion, constantly, on high alert, long-term fear, and adrenal exhaustion. So a lot of people think adrenal exhaustion is from drinking too much coffee. I am here to tell you the, excuse me, the more accurate reason for adrenal exhaustion in women, especially, is long-term fear. So, there are some words that I can't say. This radio show will eventually be on my YouTube channel, so I'm just going to use the term SA. So if there were some things that happened in your childhood that you should never have experienced, then you could have been dysregulated for 20, 30, 40, or still. That is possible. I've heard of some people in their 70s still dysregulated. So this means that your autonomic nervous system is out of balance. And so when your nervous system is not returning to balance after stress, so think about let's just think about Native Americans, the hunters and gatherers, and they're hunting and they're gathering berries and they're hunting. So there may be times of intense stress, animals, oh, a bear, oh, a lion, a tiger. So you're scared. And then, okay, then your body returns to calm, hopefully. When your body doesn't return to calm, you are constantly dysregulated. So I is that ringing a bell here? I feel like somebody just ding ding ding. I hear a bingo. So what happens when you have this long-term dysregulated nervous system? You're anxious, you're wired, you're shut down, numb, swinging between both of these. Your body loses flexibility and it gets stuck. So you could be stuck in this, I'll just call it FFF. It's the F4 Fs actually. Fight, freeze, or fawn. You could be stuck there. And then what's happening in the body, your sympathetic, the fight or flight, speeds up, preparing you for danger. And what is normally supposed to happen is then you calm back down. So the parasympathetic system is the rest, digest, and restore. So if your digestive system is off all the time, and this could affect your ability to be regular, your ability to digest your food, your ability to eat and enjoy food and have your digestive system do what it's supposed to do in balance. So if you're in survival mode all of the time, can you see how it could put all of these things out of balance. So too much sympathetic is anxiety, hypervigilance, or too much shutdown, freeze, and depression. Now, the other thing I want to talk to you about is the vagus nerve. I'm going to take a break here because I know this can feel intense. And so I want to give you a little break. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to activate. Why? We're going to activate because it feels good. The vagus nerve. What is the vagus nerve? The vagus nerve is the longest nerve in the body. It starts behind the left ear. It travels down the neck, into the heart, into the lungs. It goes through all of our organs, the liver, the stomach, the pancreas, all the way through the spleen and down into the gut. And when it is offline, which it often is if you are dysregulated, then your breathing is shallow and rapid, more of a chest breathing, or you may feel like you can't fully get a breath. So as a result, you're getting less oxygen. So you are low in oxygen. You're not going to have as much energy, increased anxiety, lightheadedness. But the other thing about it is your breathing becomes slow or restricted, and you may find yourself, let's just notice, are you breathing deeply or are you holding your breath? Are you breathing shallowly? Are you breathing deeply? Are you expanding your lungs like when you breathe? Like that's a deep breath. But when you're breathing shallowly, you may feel like, oh, I don't even know if I'm breathing at all. And that happened to me. So why do I know? I was laying on an acupuncturist table. This is probably, oh gosh, 25 years ago, I noticed this. I had low self-esteem back then. I don't anymore. When I was laying on her table, I realized I was barely breathing. I was holding my breath, if I was breathing at all. And so this shallow breath, yes, it is showing you, it's signifying that you're in survival mode, but it's also showing you you're afraid to take up more space. You're afraid to be fully you. And this is what coming home, this radio show is all about. We're going to be eliminating all of the things that aren't you. Slowly. Slowly. That's what my next book is all about, unbecoming. Okay. So what we're going to do with this vagus nerve activation is it, if you've ever heard Tibetan monks chant, they chant in a very low, deep, oh, it's almost like a growl. It sounds like a growl. Why are they using that low, low sound? Because it activates the vagus nerve, keeps them out of fight or flight. So we're going to do this together. It's the sound VU, 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 VU. You're going to be vibrating your mouth, your sinuses, your throat. I know it sounds funny. VU. And all the way down, down, down into your belly. Humming does the same thing, but VU is much more channeled and direct. So if you really want to get down and get your system online and get your vagus nerve activated, I highly recommend you do that VU, where you focus down on even the pelvic floor, where you, belly breathing. You can really feel that energy really restoring your pelvis, your abdomen, and it's going to get your gut back online if you've got difficulty with digestion. Okay, I hope that was good for you. I sure felt it. I could really feel it. So when we're in this freeze shutdown, Again, slow, restricted breath, holding the breath, low energy, heaviness, and fatigue. It is not a good thing, not a good look for you. And it's going to lead to illness eventually. So, this is why we want to heal the nervous system. This is why we want to heal the trauma because, as long as I was in survival mode, I had fibromyalgia, Epstein-Barr, TMJ, carpal tunnel, anxiety, depression, sinus infections, bladder infections. And I've got to tell you, all of those things went away when I restored my nervous system. And there's one more thing. What do you think it might be? What could that other thing might be? When you stop putting yourself down, when you stop beating yourself up, when you stop abusing yourself and start loving and appreciating who you are for who you are. Your breath is one of the fastest ways to see if your system is regulated or not. Are you breathing deeply? Are you holding your breath? So, in chronic dysregulation, guess what else is affected? Elevated heart rate, increased blood pressure, stress hormones stay high, belly fat, cortisol, because cortisol is elevated when your stress hormones, that's part of the stress hormone. And over time, this is not a small thing, people. It affects your health. If you want, let's see if I can do this. If you want to if you want to live long and prosper, like my mother, 104, you've got to get your body regulated, your breath regulated. And I have to tell you, I feel pretty darn good. I'll be 72 in October, healthy, regulated, no more anxiety or depression. And I don't have high blood pressure. I don't take medication for anything. I'm healthy and you can be too. So, getting your system back online, you might want to avail yourself of my group session that's starting this coming Friday, week from Friday, pardon me, the first Friday of April. So, you can go to my website and find that. All right. So what else is there? Well, your brain is also going to be affected. Guess what? The amygdala, the fear center, becomes overreactive, right? It's on high alert, signaling like the siren. It's the fear center, the prefrontal cortex, the logic decision-making part of the brain goes, night, night, see ya. I can't do this. So you overreact. You can't think clearly. And then you ask yourself, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I buy that? Maybe online shopping. So there's a lot of things. I don't shop anymore. I'm not saying I never shop, but I used to have a shopping addiction. So and that's another thing is addictions are part of the stress response. It is a coping mechanism because of the dysregulation. So I can speak to that. And we'll be talking about addiction probably in the next SOS coming home. So hormones, cortisol, adrenaline, what does that do? Well, it affects your ability to have energy. It disrupts your sleep, causes anxiety, and then, of course, the adrenal burnout, and you feel just burned out. It also affects the digestive system. You may be bloated, IBS type symptoms, poor nutrient absorption, constipation, or the opposite. And both diarrhea and constipation can be the same thing. So, if your body thinks you're in danger, it's not focused on digesting food. Remember the hunters and gatherers, the lions and the tigers? Yes, your body goes into that freeze, so your abdomen's not able to digest. It's tense. And then your muscles. This is really important for you also, chronic tension. You may, oh my gosh, I hurt, tight shoulders, your jaw, your hips, body pain. All of those things can be survival mechanism related, this dysregulation from trauma. All right. Now, yes, there are other types of trauma. Yes, stroke would be a trauma. Heart attack is trauma also. But my focus, because I was bequeathed a mother that was a narcissist, my focus is narcissistic trauma recovery. Being happy with you, being happy with your life, and having loving, kind relationships, even though you were raised with such an inconsistent childhood. You can recover. You can. All right. So we want to recover, right? Your mental and emotional experience, the biology, right? If you're constantly anxious, you're amped up, and or the opposite, depression, shut down. And then maybe you've got emotional swings, mood swings. Let's get you regulated. We're going to do the vagus nerve thing again. Are you ready? One more time. We're going to do this, and then we're going to compare it with a technique that I'd like to teach you. All right, so let's do the VU one more time, okay? So you're going to focus on your belly, so below the navel. So you can put your hand there below the navel, and you could close your eyes if you wish, sitting upright, focusing with that. You're going to really vibrate your belly with this VU, okay? One, two, three. Just check in with your body. How do you feel right now? All right, so let's do the VU and then see how you feel afterwards. Ready? One more time. So I'm hearing, can you do Om instead? There's always somebody that has to do something different. You can do Om, but you won't have the same result. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. So this is a very specific activation for the vagus nerve. V. Okay. Excuse me one second. Too much vibrating. My throat, pardon me, everybody. All right, the next one is not a sound, it is a breath. And we're going to take our index finger, and thumb. Pardon me. We're going to toggle between the right nostril and the left. So put your thumb on your right nostril. I'm crying now that I'm coughing here. Thumb on right nostril, index finger on the left. We're not at the same time and you can't breathe. So hold the right nostril down with your thumb. Inhaling with the left. Now hold the left nostril down. And exhale through the right. Inhale through the left, holding the right nostril down with your thumb. And exhale through the right. So do it again. Inhale through the left. Exhale through the right. So for those of you that are listening to the MP3, so the thumb goes on the right nostril, and you're going to toggle between the index finger and the thumb, not holding both at the same time. because then you can't breathe. So you're toggling back and forth between those two. And what is happening? You are activating the right and left hemispheres of the brain. So you want to start with 11 minutes of this alternate nostril breathing. For those of you that don't see me, I'm holding down my right nostril and then toggling back and forth with the index finger on the left. And what starts to happen, it shifts your perspective. If you've had an emotionally traumatic experience, this is a very easy and quick way, 11 minutes, can you imagine, of getting yourself restored. If you've had an argument with a spouse, a neighbor, a friend right before bed, sit up in bed for 11 or want to do it all the way, 22 minutes, set a timer. And when you wake up the next morning, you're going to feel totally different. Not to mention, it will change the way you sleep and rest and heal during the night. So I'd love to hear how that worked for you. That one is, it's great. And I do have a YouTube video if you want to watch that. It's Change Your Perspective is what that video is. It's a Kundalini yoga breath work. And it will change your perspective. All right. So I want to go back to what dysregulation means. Dysregulation means that your body doesn't know how to come back to calm, and it is staying in survival mode. That is the fight, fright, or freeze. And when that happens, it affects everything: your breathing, your heart, your digestion, your energy, and even how you think. It isn't just emotional. This is biological. I'm not saying trauma is the only cause of illness, but unresolved emotional patterns absolutely contribute to what's happening in the body. I'm a perfect example. TMJ, carpal tunnel, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, anxiety, depression, autoimmune diseases. Numbness in the hands and feet. So numbness in the hands and feet, it has to do with going dead mentally. It's like being totally like, I can't handle life. That's what you're saying. I can't handle my life. You're in survival mode all the time. So yes, you can heal this. You absolutely can. So when the body doesn't feel safe ever, it never fully relaxes. You know, when we go to bed, we are supposed to be relaxed. And when we relax to sleep, the body heals. So just think about that. Those 6, 7, 8 hours at night are meant to be healing hours. And if you're always on high alert, you're not healing at night either. So let's talk about how this trauma shapes the way you feel and think. So anxiety is often a body that never learned it was safe. Depression happens when the system shuts down after being overwhelmed for too long. Depression is also caused by, and I don't know if you've heard this before, suppressed anger. And I want to do this exercise with you because it's another powerful way to move trauma, move emotions from the body. So this is also a Kundalini yoga exercise. Now, if you're a swimmer, it's like doing the backstroke. You want to make fists with your hands. You put your thumbs inside first, So you're closing your fists around your thumbs, and you're going to be going, it's going to be a little bit challenging with this chair back here, and you're going to be doing the backstroke like this. So you're swimming like backwards. You know, your arms are bent, actually, elbows are bent. And then at the same time, we're going to do the breath of fire, which is and just to tell you this, you are not going to hyperventilate as long as you do it correctly. So it's the same inhalation as exhalation. You use the same power to inhale as you do to exhale, and you will not hyperventilate. Now, that one, you want to start sitting upright. You could do it on the edge of your bed, 3 minutes. And if you do that every day, oh boy, every day for 5 days, watch how much more calm you feel in your body. Everybody has anger. If you watch the news, if you see the weather, if you see chemtrails, if you know your neighbor ticks you off, everybody's got anger to deal with. So this is a really healthy way to release anger from the body without, you know, without bashing a fence or or erupting on somebody. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, and this is something near and dear to my heart because this was me for such a long time. You know, when we're criticized, dismissed, unseen, we grow up without confidence. And we have self-doubt. We don't feel worthy. That's all low self-esteem. And that can be healed as well. And I've got to tell you, I absolutely hated myself there for quite a number of years. And so, yes, it is possible to change this. And I know the steps to take, the fastest path. And I have a course, Love Yourself Fearlessly. That was the first course I created, Love Yourself Fearlessly, back in 2011. So you don't wake up one day and decide you're not enough. You learned it. Somebody was putting you down, demeaning you, dismissing you, ignoring you, or abandoning you emotionally. So this is where it shows up most. Relationships. Patterns show up in our relationships. You may attract emotionally unavailable partners. You may stay too long in relationships you know you shouldn't. You may ignore red flags. You may have a fear of abandonment or being alone. And you may know somebody's not right for you, but you still feel pulled towards them. You may stay in a relationship you know is not healthy. And you may think you're doing it because you're afraid of being alone. It may be something else. It may be that you are stuck in survival mode and you don't know how to get out. So that pull is not love, it is pattern recognition. When you know somebody isn't good for you and you stay anyway, the body is responding to what it learned before. Excuse me. So, how does trauma form? How do you become traumatized? So, if you grew up in a household or family where love was inconsistent, you were praised one moment, criticized the next, seen one moment, and then ignored. Your system learned love is unpredictable. The carpet could be pulled out from underneath me at any moment. You may have been criticized. You're too fat. You're not smart enough. You're never going to amount to anything. If these things are ringing bells for you, I have a free course actually. And if you are on Instagram, you could find me on Instagram and go to my profile there. And there is a free introductory course to heal trauma, absolutely free. So you may have discovered life is unpredictable, or love is unpredictable. Your connection isn't safe. You may have adapted, learned to read the room. You stayed in a relationship even when it didn't feel good. And most people don't realize how this shows up every day. You're always scanning, you're hypervigilant, you're watching people, you're listening to people's tone, trying to feel safe. You may be walking on eggshells, being careful of what you say because you didn't feel safe being yourself. You may criticize yourself harder on yourself than anyone else because love was tied to getting it right. You may be a perfectionist. You may have emotional swings or shut down. You feel everything or feel nothing. You may be empathic, overwhelmed, or disconnected. You may stay too long in relationships, friendships that don't feel good because your body learned to hold on. Now, as I'm saying this, you may recognize yourself in one or all of these things. Nothing is wrong with you. And please don't feel like I did. I thought I was broken. Excuse me. And as long as I felt broken, guess what? Yeah, I was broken. So you're not broken. You're in the process of healing. All right. So we're going to talk just quickly a little bit, quickly and a little bit about triggers. Triggers are not something that just bothers you. It's something that activates a past emotional experience that hasn't been fully processed. And I'm going to use some of mine in here. You could have done that better. You're late. Why is that not finished? Boy, you've gained weight. You've got a little meat on your bones. That's not what I asked for. You're too sensitive. You always overreact. You may be triggered by any of those or none. Maybe you have a rejection or abandonment issue where if somebody says, I'm busy, somebody doesn't reply to a text, or somebody says, I need space, or let's just see where things go, and then you panic. If somebody cancels plans at the last minute, that may be very triggering for you, or somebody pulls away emotionally. You may feel unseen or unheard. Somebody talks over top of you. Someone changes the subject when you're sharing, or they make it about themselves and hijack the conversation. They may say to you, oh, it's no big deal. Oh, you're making that up. You may not feel believed, or you're being ignored in a group conversation. Just do it this way. Powerlessness. Somebody always pointing out, do it this way. Do it my way. It must be this way. Or being told what to do without being asked, or someone's making decisions for you, you should. Or feeling like you can't say no to someone. Or maybe you have comparison and worthiness issues, and you get triggered by those things. And somebody says, oh, you should see her. Oh my gosh, she's doing amazing. And you compare yourself to everyone else or some perfectionistic model type figure. It could be social media, highlight reels, who knows? Why can't you be more like, or someone else getting chosen, promoted, or praised, and you just fall apart? Maybe you have a habit of giving away your best clothes or belongings, or maybe you have shame or embarrassment being corrected in front of others, or you really freak out when somebody criticizes you. Forgetting something important? Wow, really? Or being laughed at, even jokingly, or feeling exposed or judged. You may have issues with unpredictability, childhood chaos, a sudden mood shift from someone, or walking into a room where you feel tension, or raised voices, or somebody makes a passive aggressive comment where they cannot be direct with you. Passive aggressive means, well, it would be really nice if somebody would take out the trash sometime instead of, would you mind taking out the trash? That's a direct request. Passive aggressive is a backdoor request. Passive aggressive, that's what it means. Maybe you don't know where you stand with someone, so this unpredictability is a trigger for you. Or maybe having somebody ignore you triggers you. Well, or maybe you have safety and trust issues. So this is one of those inconsistency, hot, cold behaviors, love bombing, and then withdrawal. Oh, you're imagining things where somebody makes you question your reality. or somebody promises something and they don't deliver, or you feel like you're too much or not enough. So a trigger is not you being dramatic, it's not you being oversensitive, it's your body recognizing something familiar and reacting before you have time to think. That's what a trigger is. I call it a button, and usually it's placed there inside you by a family member. Usually the ones closest to us are the ones that can trigger us the most. Have you noticed that? Yeah. So a trigger could be a tightness in your chest or a reaction that you can't control, anxiety that comes out of nowhere. It's not weakness. It is a dysregulated nervous system. So remember, I gave you three different ways to regulate your nervous system. The humming, right? The alternate nostril breathing, right? And the other one. Okay, three different ways. I want you to use all three of them. They're for different things. So, this is not just emotional, it's biological, physiological. And that's why awareness alone doesn't change it. That's why you can know better and still react the same way, because the pattern isn't just in your thoughts, it's in your body. And it's not just about now. It's about every time that it happened before. So instead of asking, why am I acting like this? What does this remind my body of? A trigger isn't random, it's a signal. And this is important because I did this for the longest time, putting your trauma on the back burner. Setting it to ignore doesn't make it go away. Thinking that you could ignore it, forget about it. I've heard of people in their late 70s. I've had people come to me in their late 70s to heal trauma. So you can understand your patterns and still repeat them because trauma is not just cognitive. It's stored in the body. And this is what I help you heal. So I want you to remember the alternate nostril breathing. Remember the ability to get rid of the anger. Anger is not wrong, it's a signal that something mattered. Somebody may have crossed your boundaries, not listened to you. So, what you just felt now, that's where change happens. And this is not who you are. This is not who I am. I learned these patterns. I'm changing my patterns. I can change. I am in the process of changing. I am doing the work I need to do to change. If something you heard today resonated, that's your nervous system recognizing truth. I work privately and in group with people ready to release their old emotional patterns and step fully into their next chapter. You can learn more about myself, my books on Amazon.com, and my website, jenniferelizabethmasters.com. And if you're a host, producer, or event organizer looking for conversations that bridge trauma, healing consciousness, and embodied leadership, I'd love to connect. Until the next time, remember, healing isn't becoming someone new. It is unbecoming who you really aren't and becoming fully you. Thank you so much for being here. Much love and be well.
Coming home. to disappear.